Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship this morning. Please be sure to look at your announcements at the back of the bulletin. There is a full schedule of all the Lenten services that will be taking place through Lent and then also through Easter. And so you're always welcome to take that home with you. And I do have a couple of things to highlight. One is that today, immediately after our worship service here this morning, we will have our annual meeting. It was delayed from January 25th to today because of the ice day in January. And so we'll have our annual meeting, and we would like all of our members to stay, all our voting members to stay and take part in the ministry of this congregation, making the decisions that affect this congregation throughout the year. And then after the annual meeting, there will be a meal over in the fellowship hall. And there will be no Sunday school this morning because of the annual meeting. And then two, Lent starts this week, and so we have a couple events going on this week. One is that Tuesday is Shrove Tuesday, so there will be a pancake supper, and that will be from 5 to 6:30. And somewhere in the middle of all that then, too, we will also have the burning of the palms. And then Ash Wednesday then is on Wednesday. We do have two worship services during the Wednesday during Lent, and so we do have a worship service at 10 o'clock in the morning, and that will be in the chapel, and then a 7 o'clock service in the evening, and that will be here in the sanctuary. Okay, Pam, you got an announcement.
If everyone doesn't know, Amanda is leaving us, and so we're going to have a small come and go cookie and light refreshment reception for her in the office on Wednesday the 18th from 9 o'clock till noon. So come by and tell her thank you for all the wonderful things that she has done for us. We're sad that she's leaving, but she feels like she wants to go to a different job. So come by and tell her hello and give her your thanks.
All right. Thank you, Pam. Miranda, do you have an announcement?
Oh,
okay. All right. All right. Anybody else with announcements? Okay. Then I invite you to rise for the brief order for confession and forgiveness. We begin the service in the remembrance of our baptism. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. We have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare unto you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. We sing the hymn, God of Grace and God of Glory.
Yeah.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
O God, at the glorious transfiguration of your only Son, you confirm the mystery of our faith by the witness of the disciples and by your own voice from the cloud. Mercifully complete our adoption as your children and give us with our King an inheritance of his glory. Grant this, we pray, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. May be seated.
Good morning. Our first reading of the day is from Exodus chapter 24, verse 8 through 18. Moses took the blood and threw it on the people and said, "Behold, the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." Then Moses and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and 70 of the elders of Israel went up and they saw the God of Israel. There was under his feet, as it were, a pavement of sapphire stone, like the very heaven for clearness. And he did not lay his hand on the chief men of the people of Israel. They beheld God and ate and drank. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait there that I may give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandment, which I have written for their instruction." So Moses rose with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God.
And he said to the elders, "Wait here for us until we return to you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute, let him go to them." Then Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord dwelt on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain, and Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Psalms, we will read responsively, chapter 2, verse 6 through 12. As for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage, and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Now therefore, O kings, be wise. Be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him." The second reading is from 2 Peter 1, 16 through 21. "We did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were witnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased,' we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." The word of the Lord.
Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 17th chapter. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah, talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." And he was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise and have no fear." And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, "Tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead." The Gospel of the Lord. May be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. When you go grocery shopping and you're in the checkout line, maybe waiting behind somebody else, you notice all the stuff that they have on the shelves right there. It's a great marketing ploy. I mean, you see all sorts of candy and gum and maybe some cigarette lighters and drinks or different things, knickknacks around. But there's always a stand of magazines or tabloids. And I always find it fascinating just to read the headlines on those things. That, you know, you see headlines like, the U.S. Navy has just captured a huge sea monster and is keeping it in a hidden location. Or another one says, "Man makes the claim, space aliens landed in my backyard." Or another one saying, "Try this product. A new product has been developed that will add 10 to 15 years of your life." Spectacular stuff. Or those two who scroll through the internet, they're looking and things pop out. Things that'll grab your attention. And either out of curiosity or shocking value or whatever else is on there. Spectacular stuff that just catches our eyes. In our gospel lesson today, we have a spectacular event that has taken place. Jesus takes his three disciples up on the mountaintop, Peter, James, and John, and Jesus is transfigured. He is changed. The glory of the Lord is seen through him. He turns dazzling white, a bright light, brighter than anything that those disciples had ever seen before. And standing there, two of the most important historical people in the whole Hebrew history. You have Moses and Elijah. You have the lawgiver, Moses, and then you have the prophet, Elijah. Very powerful people who were sent from God. And they're there talking with Jesus. Spectacular event, and the disciples don't know what to do with it. How they should handle it. So, what's the difference between this spectacular event of Jesus being transfigured and the spectacular event that you see on the tabloid headlines? Which one are you going to believe? Which ones are real? Which ones are not real? And how do you decide? For us as Christians, we know that this story out of the gospel is real because we do believe that the scripture is the word of God. But even more so, if we would continue on reading here in Matthew, the very next story is Jesus comes on down out of the mountain, and a man comes up to him and falls down on his knees and says, "Lord, have mercy on me. My son is an epileptic." And that is what grabs Jesus' attention. That's what Jesus is here to do. So what grabs Jesus' attention is that epileptic son. Or it's the woman who was bleeding for 12 years, and she barely touches the hem of his robes. Or it's that man who was born blind. Or it was those lepers. It was the people whom other people throw rocks at. That's who grabs Jesus' attention. He came for those who need help. He came for those who were hurting. He came for those who were on the edge, on the margin of society. That's who Jesus came for, and he comes for us. He comes to meet us as we are and where we are. Even though we have sinned, even though we fall away from God from time to time, he still comes to us. And even the more spectacular thing then is that he actually calls us. He calls and says, follow me. And, you know, we think, what can I do? I'm too old to do anything. I'm too young to do anything for Jesus. I'm too busy to do anything for Jesus. I have no knowledge. I don't have any training. What can I do? But yet God still calls us. He gives us those gifts of the Holy Spirit. And amazing things can happen. Spectacular things can happen when we follow Christ. We never know how God works through us. And sometimes we don't even see it. Maybe we're just planting seeds, and those seeds don't start to grow until years later. But yet, God comes for us, and He calls us as well. Here in just a little while, we do have our annual meeting, and we'll be making decisions on how to use our resources for the ministry of this congregation. But we will also be voting on the leadership of this congregation, too. Many people, or several people, have stepped forward and says, yes, I'll take a chance. I'll throw myself out there. However God leads me, I will follow. I will serve God. I will serve this congregation of how God calls me. And at the end of the annual meeting, then, we have the installation of all the new leadership within this congregation. One of the questions is asked, will you take on the responsibilities of your elected office? And then the answer is yes, by the help of God. But then those leaders turn around and face the congregation, and the congregation is asked the question, will you help support these new leaders? And then again, the answer is yes, by the help of God. We take a leap of faith. We take a leap of faith. And it may not be glamorous. It may not be spectacular. Sometimes we move in the quiet. Sometimes a lot of those things that we do, or the leaders in the congregation do, don't get noticed, but it's necessary. God works through each of us and every one of us. And it doesn't matter if you are one of the elected leaders. There is places and things for you to do within the congregation and within the community and within the world to help bring that message of Jesus Christ. Now, what else is happening this week is Lent. Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, and we enter into that Lenten season. And I don't know that anybody would describe Lent as being spectacular. Actually, it's a little bit more somber than the other seasons of the year. It's not that celebratory seasons like Christmas or Easter. It is Lent. It's a time to focus on who we are as children of God and what God has called us to do. You know, you may not see space aliens. You may not capture any huge monsters. But what may happen is, if you go through the disciplines of Lent, something that may happen is your faith may increase, or your commitment may become stronger, or you may see the frailty of yourself. You may see the sin within yourself and how that sin leads you to God, and how you need God, how you need a Savior, that you can't fix all this on your own. You need God in your life. And so we move through this Lenten season until we come towards the end, where Jesus is arrested, He's beaten, He's put on trial, and He is crucified. But then Christ rises from the dead, becomes new life. And so we move through this season of Lent, contemplating of who God is. The Sunday before Lent, it is a spectacular Sunday. We hear this spectacular story of Jesus going up on the mountain and being transfigured. At the end of Lent, we hear that spectacular story of Jesus being raised from the dead. But we move through this journey of Lent, contemplating how God interacts in our life, because that's what grabs Jesus' attention. We grab His attention by what we need and how He leads us. Jesus calls us, come, take your cross and follow me. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
We sing the hymn, "How Good, Lord, to Be Here." Please rise for the confession of faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, Let us pray that the light of Christ may shine upon the church, the world, and all people according to their need. Holy Lord, holy and mighty, holy and immortal, have mercy on us. In the transfiguration of Jesus, we see your glory, and we see what everyone joined to Jesus will be like. Thank you for the vision of his glory, which he lovingly pours upon all who cling to him in faith. Lord, in your mercy. Transfigure the suffering of your persecuted church. Unite it to the death and resurrection of Jesus. Give it grace to speak truth and offer forgiveness to its enemies. Transfigure the ministries of seminaries, missionaries, and spiritual directors, so all they say and do points to you. Lord, in your mercy. Transfigure the sacrifices of those who for our sake stand in harm's way. Let their actions shine with honor. Grant them healing when they fall and joy when they return home. Lord, in your mercy. Transfigure the lives of all who sit in the shadow of suffering and sorrow, and let their sorrow be turned to joy. Fear to hope, and despair into faith in your love. We lift before you in prayer Lynn Magura, Elaine Molina, Rosa Harton, Joe Barnes, Janet Lemke, Marge Wilhelmson, Margie Bolting, Kermit Kaler, Shelley Hafling, Jordan Peterson, Nancy Guidry, Gary Turner, and the family of Nick Picard. And Lord, we give thanks for
for the rain, and we pray that it may continue to come. Lord, in your mercy. Holy God, holy and mighty, holy and immortal, we bless you because you have transfigured the death of your faithful servants. You have turned their death into life, their sin and pain into holy health, and their limitations into delight in your infinite goodness. We humbly ask, transfigure each of us into the image of Jesus. Lord, in your mercy. All these things and whatever else you see that we need, grant to us, dear Father, for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We continue with the offering. You may be seated. Let us pray. Merciful God, in the mystery of the Word made flesh, you embrace our lives with your great love for humanity. With joy and gladness, we ask that Jesus, in the community of Jesus, and that you share your love, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. By the leading of a star, he was shown forth to all nations. In the waters of the Jordan, you proclaimed him your beloved Son. And in the miracle of water turned to wine, he revealed your glory. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, come, for all is ready. Body of Christ given for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Our closing hymn, "Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee."
Thanks be to God.
As we go in peace, we share that peace with each other. The peace of the Lord be with you.
And with